Well, good morning, church. Happy New Year to you. If you're joining us online, and I'm sure many of you are because of the snow this morning, so glad that you are joining us this way. Thankful for all of you that gave us those testimony videos. We have a couple more to show you next week as well. We have so much to praise God for this morning. One thing I'm praising God for is that today is the 10th anniversary of me becoming a pastor at First Baptist Church. And if you need proof that it has been that long, well, here you go. This is my proof that it has been 10 years. This was at the youth group all-nighter 10 years ago. I wasn't married at this point, in case that isn't obvious by how I looked. But that's the guy that you said, yeah, you can be our youth pastor 10 years ago. And I'm so thankful for the privilege of being one of your pastors for the last 10 years. We love this community of believers, and I'm looking forward to seeing what God has in store for us together in this new year. And this morning, I would love for you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, because as I thought about what passage summarized our year as a church well for 2020, I think it's the passage that we turn to together right after COVID hit our church family in the month of March. It's pretty much what all these testimonies you've heard this morning have been about. This was after the most difficult week for me as your pastor, when we had deacons on ventilators in the hospital, and we get to hear testimonies both today and next week from them. And as I think back to that time, I mean, beyond the health concerns, we had economic fears, and we still have economic fears. We were dealing with the disappointment of all these things being canceled, and things are still being canceled. We were wondering if graduates would be able to have a proper graduation, and they weren't. We were wondering how long things would be shut down, and we still don't have the answer to that question. And so we're in a time right now where the calendar has changed, but we've seen God do great things, but we're still waiting on Him to do more. We're still approaching God's Word in a time when the significance of our neediness, I think it's just overwhelmingly and painfully obvious. We are not self-sufficient. If 2020 has taught you one thing, it should be that we are not self-sufficient, nor were we intended to be. We are weak. Our lives are frail. We are desperately dependent on Jesus. We need Him. Maybe you're a guest with us watching online today, and one thing I want you to hear from me this morning is that you need Jesus. You need Him. We all need Him. Don't try to go through this next year without Him. We weren't created to depend on ourselves. We were created to depend on Him. And I want to remind us today of those same three truths that I did back in March. The first is that God is sovereign. We know that nothing happens outside of the sovereignty of our God. When everything seems out of control, He is still in control. Psalm 103:19, the Lord has established His throne in the heavens, where no one can touch it, in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all. In a year when everything around us has changed, God hasn't. He is still on the throne. And I will openly admit that that creates a problem for us at times. Because when things go wrong, we ask the question, if God is great, how can He be good? If He's in control, how could He allow this to happen? And that's a question that I was asking myself. And I still don't think we have the full answer to everything that God is doing. It is hard to process God being in control and terrible things happening. But I'll take that over a weak God who's just as surprised as we are when we get bad news. When we bring our needs to the Lord, we are not coming to someone who is helpless. I'll take a God who isn't caught off guard every day of the week, because knowing that God is sovereign is what gives us assurance that our pain is not pointless. God is always working something greater than our understanding because he is still sovereign. And we also know that God cares about all of our needs. He cares about our physical needs, our spiritual needs, our emotional needs. He cares about what we've gone through as a church family this past year and what we will go through together in this coming year. And he wants us to come to him. I want us to remember this year that faith is for when we are frustrated. It's for when we are confused. It's for when we are angry. In fact, that's when we need faith the most. Faith is not just for the bright days, it's for the dark days as well. Our God is not afraid of our questions. I don't know what this next year will bring, but I know that we are invited every day to come to our God who cares and depend on Jesus to meet all our needs. And so we know that God is sovereign, we know that he cares, and we know that God is near. Psalm 34, 18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Have you experienced the truth of that verse this year? I know I have. Our God, he is drawn to the broken. He is drawn to the discouraged. He is drawn to the weeping. This is why Jesus left heaven and entered into our brokenness. He came to be near to the needy. We have a Savior who hears and remembers and sees and knows. He does not wait for us on the other side. No, he is present in the middle of the mess. The Lord our God is sovereign, he cares, and he is near. And in light of those three truths, I want our minds and our hearts to remember and give praise for the one promise that we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul is actually making a defense of his ministry in this passage because there were these so-called super apostles who were doing all these crazy things, and they were full of themselves and putting themselves on a pedestal, and they were tearing down Paul to do it. And so we're jumping into a context where Paul is trying to show the foolishness of boasting by boasting himself. He says, "Let me be foolish for a minute. And I'm going to be foolish by being prideful and bragging." And so the first part of 2 Corinthians 12, Paul's talking about these unique spiritual experiences that he's had, these visions and revelation, and he wasn't making stuff up, he was telling the truth. But even though he was telling the truth, Paul is saying that is still foolish, because if all people see when they look at us is us, then we have failed. Because we were meant to show people someone greater than us within us. If our yearly Give Praise service was about us, that would be a problem. We're giving praise to him. So how did Paul, who had experienced so much success ministry-wise, we would say, and had all these unique spiritual experiences, how did he keep from turning his life into a show and make everything about himself? How did he keep from becoming prideful? 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger from Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited." So here's Paul's problem. A thorn in the flesh, something that weakened him. We're not sure what this was. A lot of people think it was a physical limitation related to his eyesight, but we're not really sure. What I am sure of is that we all have thorns in the flesh. We have weaknesses. Verse 10, Paul gives us the different categories of what he means by weakness. He says, insults and hardships and persecutions and calamities. Have we experienced any of those this past year? I believe we have. And I believe the reason Paul doesn't say what his thorn was is because his weakness wasn't the point. It's not important here to know what the thorn was. It's important to know God's purpose for it, because God is sovereign. So Paul's pain wasn't pointless. There was a purpose to this. And Paul says at both the beginning and the end of verse 7 that the purpose was to keep him from becoming conceited. And that's not necessarily the purpose of every thorn, of every one of these weaknesses, but it was the purpose for Paul's. And it's important for us to see that not every pain is a punishment. Because when we experience pain, it's natural to ask, what did I do wrong, right? What did I do to deserve this? Why are you punishing me? And sometimes the pain we experience is a punishment, but Paul didn't conclude that his was. In fact, he saw anything that humbled him as a gift to him. And I would be pretty discouraged if, as we're reading through this passage and Paul talks about this thorn, if Paul's response to this pain was yes, right? Thank you! Because that's not how I respond to pain, right? That's not how I feel. And that's not how Paul responded either. Verse 8, I think, is really encouraging. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. We've applied that verse in this last year, haven't we? I mean, that has been us. God, make this go away. Make this seasonal. At least protect our community. At least let our kids go to school. At least let me go to work. But seriously, God, just take this away. That would be best. If that is ever the tone of your prayers, then you are in good company. That's exactly how Paul prayed in the middle of the pain. And by the way, that's exactly how God himself, Jesus, in the garden prayed before his crucifixion. If it is possible, let this cup pass from me. I want you to feel the freedom to pray that way this year. In the middle of our mess, we have an invitation to go and plead with the God who is in control, and we can plead with him to make this stop. On 3 probably unique and significant occasions, Paul comes to God and he begs, even though he calls this thorn a messenger from Satan. And so Paul recognized that events and situations and difficulties have an immediate and an ultimate cause. So remember this. The immediate cause of your circumstances can be any number of different factors. Some things are our own fault, fault of those around you, combination of things. There are all sorts of different immediate causes, but God is always the ultimate cause. Nothing happens outside of our God's sovereign control. And we're allowed to struggle with that. We're allowed to say, God, why are you letting this happen? Right? But it also means that we always know where to go with our troubles. Paul doesn't go to that messenger of Satan and plead with him. No, he goes to God and he begs, and he is told no. Paul is told no. God says, I'm not going to take this away from you. If you ever feel like God doesn't answer your prayers the way you would like, you aren't alone. Paul would be like, same man, that's me. And we have prayed for God to take our calamity away, and so far, God has said no. We've seen lots of answers to prayer this year, and we praise him for that. And we have seen God answer a lot of prayers with not yet. And I don't like that answer. Instead of taking away the thorn, God gives Paul a promise. And his promise is my 2020 testimony. 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So here's the promise. My grace is sufficient for you. God doesn't always promise to remove the pain, but he always promises to give his grace within the pain. And he promises that his grace is enough. Can anyone else testify that that is true? I hope so. The pain is still there, but his grace is there too. See, this is how big our God is. God's grace is not only sufficient to lift us out of the pain, his grace is sufficient to sustain us in the pain, in the middle of the mess, in the middle of the doubts, in the middle of the frustration and the anger, in the middle of a pandemic. His grace is sufficient for us. Because for followers of Jesus, even when we receive circumstances that we would never choose for ourselves, we also receive something better than we could ever deserve from our God, because we get him. Our wonderful counselor, our mighty God, our everlasting Father and Prince of Peace, his grace is sufficient because he is sufficient. He is enough. I don't know much about the days ahead, but one thing I know for sure is that I need Jesus for them. And I know that you need Jesus for them too. We need his presence with us. We need his power within us. And I also know that we do not deserve to have those needs met. We need his presence, but we deserve his absence. We deserve the life that we had chose, one where we were hopelessly lost in our own sin because we had all rejected God's authority in our lives. We deserve to experience the natural consequences of disobedience, separation from God, because we went away from him. But instead of giving us what we deserved, we were given Jesus. God himself came near to us when we were far from him. This is why we can remember and worship through communion this morning, because the creator of the universe became like one of us, and Jesus didn't hang out with the rich and the famous. No, he was near to the brokenhearted, the outcasts and the discouraged. Jesus lived the perfect life that we should have lived, and he died the death that we deserve to die. He took the just punishment for the sins that we had committed against him on himself at the cross. He rose from the dead. He conquered sin and the grave. So if you place your faith in the perfect life, sacrificial death, and victorious resurrection of Jesus, all of your sins are forgiven. You become part of the eternal family of God, because when this world needed Jesus, he came. And some of you need Jesus today. You need to ask him to be your forgiver and the leader of your life for the first time. And I want you to know that no matter what you have done, if you place your faith in Jesus, he will come. He will come. Instead of receiving God's absence, you can receive the gracious gift of his presence. And so no matter what happens in this coming year, no matter what circumstances we receive or what circumstances are taken away, one thing we can know is that God's grace is enough because he is enough. God's grace is enough because he is enough. His grace is sufficient for us. And we've had to fight to believe that this year, haven't we? Especially as God answers our prayers with not yet, right? God, take this virus away. Not yet. God, put an end to our foster case. Not yet. God, let our kids go to school. Not yet. But my grace is sufficient for you. We're going to have to fight to believe that this year as well. And I don't know what tomorrow will bring. We didn't know that today would bring snow right when our service started. But I know that God will be sovereign. I know that he will care. And I know that he will be near. And when life reveals our weaknesses, we can know that it is in our weaknesses that his perfect power is displayed. Dave Furman says, God doesn't use weak people despite their weaknesses. He demonstrates his perfect power through our weakness. And when life doesn't make any sense, I remember that the cross didn't make any sense either. And that at the cross, the display of Jesus' apparent weakness was actually the display of Jesus' ultimate power. You want proof that your pain is not pointless? Jesus' suffering, his pain, his death is what conquered sin and death for us. And his resurrection is what gives us hope that one day our pain will be relieved, our tears will be wiped away, our bodies will be made new. Three truths we can cling to until then. God is sovereign. He cares. He is near. And no matter what the problem, the promise is the same. His grace is sufficient for us. We can count on one thing in 2021. The God who never fails will not fail us now. Let me pray for us, and Amanda's going to come sing that song. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you have not left us. You have not failed us. Even in times where we don't understand what you're doing, even as we look ahead to this next year and we have no idea what it will be like, I pray that we will remember that you are still sovereign, that you still care, that you are still near, and that your grace is enough because you are enough. So give us faith to trust that you are worthy of our praise. Because you are good, you are with us, and you have an ultimate plan to bring yourself glory and to bring us joy. And so, God, today we are going to choose to praise. In the middle of the mess, in the middle of the pain, while we're still waiting on answers, we're going to choose to praise and to glorify the name of all names. We're so thankful for the privilege that we have of worshiping you. We're so thankful for the gracious gift of your presence. I pray that we would depend on you to be sufficient for us this year. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.